Hare Krishna. Okay, today's podcast may garner more feedback than the average. It's just my duty to answer questions, be they controversial or not. Here's two questions from Mineshi Gopika Devidasi. They're from the Bhagavad Gita. The first one is low profile. She says that Prabhupada talks about the six kinds of aggressors should be killed regardless of their age. She says, but in Kali Yuga, it doesn't happen that way because the law doesn't allow this. How can this be overcome? Well, you can't overcome it. Not particularly our business to overcome it. This is Manu Samhita. This is the laws of Manu, and that law system isn't in effect in modern society. So the six type of aggressors, for instance, someone who steals your wife, maybe killed, is not a law that's current in modern society. So since it's not, then it can't be, it's not going to be enforced by modern society. In any case, it wouldn't be, for instance, a Brahmin priest enforcing such a thing either in Vedic culture or in modern culture. It would be up to a judge in order to give some kind, pass that type of decision, or perhaps a king in a previous time. So we don't take the law in our hands, even when it's within the law, what to speak of when it's no longer the law. And how can it be overcome? The only way it could possibly be overcome is if Krishna consciousness has such a voice as to be able to influence legislation and pass legislation. I was just thinking, actually, if considering that 50% of people in the modern world divorce, this is just a exaggerated example. But if they divorce just because men steal wives, women steal husbands, and that's meant to be punished with death, you'd have half of the world's population you have at the present time. So it's not for us to enforce or practice this type of thing, or any type of other law. For instance, we find that other laws which Srila Prabhupada may cite, which are also either Bhagavat laws, or more specifically Manu Samhita type laws, but are no longer current in modern legal system, then the only way that would be such is if we're able to introduce that type of legislation that modern society would accept. But because the philosophy and the principles upon which modern society is much different than that in which these laws were set up, therefore it's highly unlikely that that would be the case. We always have to act within the law. So in the example that I mentioned, say that someone runs off with someone else's wife, what can devotees do? Only those things that are acceptable within the modern legal framework. As a religious organization, you can take away someone's rights of membership to your spiritual organization. You can withdraw perhaps initiation rights, or of course, this is something that we may argue within Krishna consciousness. But as far as the outside world is concerned, that's fine. But you can't touch the person. You can't decide you're going to hang him or something like that. And similarly, the case with many other laws. For instance, I know that recently in in one of our yatras, not here in Hungary, but outside, there was a case where a devotee was working in a restaurant, and the contractual arrangement in the restaurant is that he's a vegetarian. And he stopped being a vegetarian, and the restaurant manager then wanted to get him out. Originally, the lawyer said, no way that a labor tribunal is going to support you, that you're going to discharge someone from their work because they're not vegetarians. Otherwise, you know, what would happen to the rest of the people in the world? Everyone can just get fired just because of their eating habits. But because actually was in the law, and ultimately the legal analysis was, yes, he has a right. This person signed the contract to this effect. Therefore, because he signed the contract to this effect, he should be bound by that. And the person was let go on the grounds of not being a vegetarian. So in this case, our own legal system was borne out by the external legal system to some extent. So that's on that question. Now here comes the controversial one. Also Bhagavad Gita. Chanaka Pandit says, women are generally not very intelligent and therefore not trustworthy. But these days, she says, women are educated with professional jobs, supporting the families. Can you please elaborate on these two, intelligent and trustworthy? Now, long topic, or at least it's been lengthily argued. And even in some places, it's very strongly divided the opinions of our society, whether these type of things should even be discussed in public, whether we even actually agree with what Srila Prabhupada says. Some people say that. I don't. Let me then just repeat the traditional conservative view, that view which just follows what Srila Prabhupada says here. In the matters of doing what men are supposed to do according to Vedic culture, which is to be independent, make money, work, because in order to work you need to generally have a certain degree of independence, particularly if you're going to do trading or commerce or administration and so on. In those affairs, women are not so intelligent. Intelligent means generally the ability to acquire and apply knowledge. So you acquire knowledge and you apply knowledge. Why is it that they're not so intelligent? Because the tendency is that women can more easily than men, so intelligent, that men aren't so intelligent either, especially in Kali Yuga. Still, the tendency for women to be more easily distracted by their emotions, because they're not meant to be independent, they're meant to be protected, they're not meant to be given activities or work where they're meant to be self-sufficient, but rather they're meant to be in a dependent or in a protected environment, in which case they're much more intelligent in prescribed duties and services than men are. On the average, and here Prabhupada says, uses the word generally, so there may be exceptions to that case. The fact that in our modern society this is a really highly controversial thing, continues to be so. We're seen as being backward to propound such things. But what can we do? Krishna says, guna karma vibhagashaha. It's not an issue of men and women. That's one issue. It's also an issue of women and women, and men and men. All women are not created equal. All men are not created equal. Men and women are not created equal. All living entities are not created equal. So, therefore, when you want one type of created being to perform the duties and activities of the other, then in that regard they will be considered to be not so intelligent and not so capable. If you want me to perform the function of a mathematician, then you're making a big mistake. I'm not so intelligent. I don't have the ability for mathematics. As, for instance, I knew some of my family members and other mathematicians in high school and university. And if you therefore give me duties to solve in regards to mathematics, then don't trust me with that, because I'm not going to be able to help you. What to speak of, and I'm telling you that honestly, what to speak of when I'm not a mathematician, but I tell you that I am a good mathematician, and you just give me any sort of problem and I will solve it, and then you're going to build a house on the basis of that or a bridge on the basis of it. Don't trust me. And so many other things. We're not created equal. At the Olympics, who are the race of people who generally win 100-meter, 200-meter dashes? Are black-bodied people. Why? Because Krishna made them like that. They run faster, especially at short distances, than other people. You want me to run faster? I can't do that. You want me to win an Olympics race? And if I tell you I'm going to do it, don't trust me. So, but if you want me, and now let's talk about women's role in Vedic culture. You want me as an average woman to manage a home, to take care of children, to protect my husband by my womanly charms, by my cooking, by my support, then I'm very intelligent and I'm very trustworthy in that particular role, because that's what I'm designed for. So the whole idea that anyone can do anything and everyone should be able to do anything undermines Krishna's statement, guna karma vibhaga sa tasya kartaram apimam. He says, this is my design. I've made things like this. That means we're going against the design of God. We're going against the way in which he's actually established differences between different classes of people and engaging people according to their strengths, and avoiding engaging them in their weaknesses. And as a result of that, society becomes overall undermined. If we don't see this type of application of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can't actually come forward and say that we have a solution for the ills of society, nor can we actually present any kind of social structure, because we have negated or we don't agree with the way in which Krishna has established social structure, which is on the basis of guna and karma. Rather, we just say it doesn't matter what your guna is, doesn't matter what your karma is, and it doesn't matter what scripture says, and it doesn't matter what Prabhupada says. Okay, well, that's as far as we go on this topic today, and Hare Krishna to everyone.